This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to the this new series Walking with the Prophet. It's the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. It's a very, very special series. As I mentioned, it's not merely just narrating and talking about the seerah of the Prophet, but we're going beyond just talking about the events that happened in the life of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. Here we talk more about him as a man, we talk more about him as a person, as a husband, as a father, as a leader. We visit him, we go and see him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We talk about his character, we talk about his traits, we talk about his skills. We learn so much from from him as a person, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is again not just merely seerah, because that, you know, the seerah, you can find it in any book and you can find it online. There's so many lectures, but I want to step beyond. This is why I call it, you know, walking with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. All right. So yesterday, dear brothers and sisters, we talked about the world before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam, and I mentioned that the worldwide there were two main powers, right? There were two main powers: the Romans and the Persians. And they used to adopt this system called, or this social system called, casteism. يعني طبقات. You know, you have the leaders, the rulers, and then you have the people of the church, and then you have the lowest of all. So it was this tabaqat, and then these are the two main powers: the Romans and the Persians. With regards to the Christians, I mentioned that after the 500 years after the death of Isa alayhi salam, also the Christians, they have deviated, and they split into three main groups. There was a group that claimed that Jesus was God. The second group that claimed that Jesus was Son of God, and then the third group that believed in Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So we talked about that as well. We talked about the Jews. So here I'm only talking about the world, you know, before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, how are things? Why it's very important to talk about this history, you know, before and after, because we learn so much from history, brothers and sisters. If you were to study history, you get to understand why things are happening the way they're happening today, right? If you were to study history, you will really understand, you know, politically and not politically, you will understand why certain things are happening certain ways. So this is very, very important that we study history. And here we're talking about the history of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam. How was the world before the Prophet? So we talked about the Christians. The Jews also deviated. Ben Israel, they cursed the prophets, and some, you know, called prophets names and whatnot. Some even cursed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regard to the Arabs in the Arab Peninsula, we talked about yesterday about the nation of Saba, you know, in Yemen, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with so much good, and then they were not grateful to Allah azza wa jal. And then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed that dam that they had, and then destroyed their gardens. And after that flood that destroyed all their crops and all their field, and then they had to travel, you know. The people from Yemen, they had to travel and leave Saba. And they went into Al-Jazirat al-Arab, the Arab Peninsula, where they, you know, the very famous story of this Qabila Julhum, who were seeking water, and then they saw a bird, you know, they saw not a bird, like birds in the sky in the desert, which means that, you know, whenever you see birds in the sky in the desert, that means there's water. So, and they met, Hajar alayhi salam with her son Ismail. So this story, brothers and sisters, happened 120 years. That story of when they traveled to the Arab Peninsula, but the story of when the Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed Qawm Saba, you know, with that flood, it happened 120 years, before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We talked also about the origin of the Arabs. And I mentioned the origins of the Arabs are from Qahtan, Qahtaniyin, you know, the tribe called Qahtan from Jurhum. Their leader, his name is Amr ibn Luhay. Right? The leader of the Arabs at the time, his name was Amr ibn Luhay. So this Amr ibn Luhay, as the Arabs, they lived, you know, in the Arab Peninsula there for, you know, for years. What happened was, they used to travel, they used to do a lot of trade, they used to live in trade, because in the Arab Peninsula there was to be Mecca, there's no vegetation whatsoever, so people used to live off of trade. The Amr ibn Luhay used to travel to Asham. He used to travel to Asham for business, for trade, and then he saw that the people of Asham used to worship idols. So he asked them, why do you people worship? Because people were still under the religion of Tawheed. So far, until now, in the Arabs, in Mecca, in, you know, what is to be called Quraysh, the people of Quraysh, they were still in the religion of Tawheed, meaning they were following the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They were following the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is the religion of the oneness of God, Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this man traveled to Asham, and then he saw that those people were worshipping idols, he asked them, as to why are you people worshipping these idols? They said, well, we're not necessarily worshipping them, but we just, you know, we ask them to for help, and we ask them to as some sort of a link between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of asking Allah directly, they will go through these idols. Right, they will go to the idols instead of asking Allah and seeking help from Allah directly. They will use, you know, these idols as a mean or a medium between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, well, it's not a bad idea. Why don't you give me an idol? I'll take it back with me to my tribe. So they gave him an idol by the name of Hubal. Hubal, remember this name, Hubal. So he took this idol, Hubal, as he was the leader, and then he went back to Mecca, and he introduced it to his people. He introduced it to his people. They were saying, what is this? They used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, well, people are using them as a mean, you know, a link between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could use them as well, you know. So they started worshipping Hubal, their god Hubal. Brothers and sisters, this man, Amr ibn Luhay, the Prophet Muhammad said, I saw him in hellfire dragging his guts. He was the man who introduced the religion of the worshipping of idols in the Arab Peninsula. It was this man. Hada, Amr ibn Luhay, he was the man who introduced the worshipping of idols in the Arab Peninsula. The Prophet, he says, I saw him in hellfire dragging his guts. So also, my brothers and sisters, they also used to seek help from jinn as well. This is why it's important to understand how the prophets, or what would the prophets have to deal with, you know, the mentality, the environment, you know, how the people were. So they used not only to worship idols, they used also to worship the jinn. وَالْعِيَدُ بِاللَّهِ. They used to seek help from the jinn. وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رجال من الإنس, this man from Ins, they used to seek help from men from the jinn. From the jinn. So not only they used to worship idols, they used to worship jinn as well. How about the status of women? Just so you know the history and you know about women. For the Romans and the Persians, the women had the lowest of all statuses whatsoever. In fact, some believe that, you know, she was not a human being, she was a jinn, she was a shaitan, or some believe that she was half-half. She was half human, half jinn. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No, it's true, Allah, it's true. Some in the Romans at the time, there was a group of people that used to believe that women, you know, they were half human and half jinn. Not that there's some women who are like jinn. But subhanAllah, they're like, this is the belief, this is what they used to think of women, wal-iyadu billah, you know? So, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And so women had the lowest of all civilizations. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the rank of women through Islam. Through Islam, sisters, really. Al-Islam came to raise your rank, not to degrade you. Islam came to came to elevate your status, came to elevate your rank in this dunya and in the akhirah. Because some people, you know, from the West and the social media, thinking that Islam has, taken the rights of women and abuses women and whatnot. In Quraysh, in the Arabs, women used to have four types of nikah. They used to have four types of nikah with regard to marriage. The first type of nikah, the husbands would order his wife, or the husband would order his wife to wed a rich man. This is the first type of nikah. A husband would order his wife to wed a rich man, and then, you know, she will get babies from him, you know, and money and whatnot. So that's the first type of nikah. The second type of nikah, women, they would wed several men, then choose whatever child they wish. Huh? This is not prostitution. We're not talking about prostitution. A woman would wed several men. She will bear babies from these men. And then she would choose whatever, you know, child she wishes. That's the second type of nikah. The third type of nikah, you have what is called prostitution. What's prostitution? Well, I don't need to explain, but the way you did it at the time was they used to have these houses having flags, you know, like flags, red flags on by the door. If man was to walk by a house that had a red flag, it's like a house of, astaghfirullah, of a prostitution house. So that's the third type. And of course, the main type, the fourth and the main type, is the proper nikah. A man would marry a woman, you know, with the proper type of nikah. So just so you see the status of women and how women were regarded at the time. Wal-iyadu billah. Also, man can also marry his wife's sister. This is why, you know, Islam came and prohibited all these types of practices. Man would not only can marry, and he is marrying his wife, but also he can marry his sister's wife, his wife's sister. Nah, yeah, and he would marry his wife, and he would marry a wife's sister. He can't do that. Yeah, and he buy one and get one for free. I don't know. Buy one and get one fee. Yalla fi sabilillah, take them both. The father would be happy. Just take them both. Pay for one and take the other. Ya lekhun, humma balash. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So not only a man can marry his wife and also the sister's wife, but he can also marry his stepmother. The man can also marry his stepmother. Yani if his father was married to a woman, right? He can marry that woman's the mother's yani his stepmother or his husband's his father's wife. After, of course, his husband's, let's say his father divorces her, or his father, you know, gets dies, then he can marry his father's wal-iyadu billah, father's wife, you know, ex-wife. So this is the four types of nikah. The man can marry his wife's sister. A man can also marry his stepmother. And not only that, women, you know, they used to bury their daughters. Everybody knew about this, right? A lot of people, you know, Muslims, we know about, you know, that women, that girls used to bury them alive. It was a shame, as you see, subhanAllah. It was an embarrassment. It wasn't this dishonor. It was a shame, you know, to bear, subhanAllah, to give birth to a woman, to a girl. You know, this is how the Arabs, they used to believe at the time before coming of an Islam and elevating the rank and the status of women. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad says, you know, about women, about girls, you know, whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with three girls, they will pave the road for him to Jannah. If he was to, subhanAllah, if he was to discipline them and educate them, they will be a mean for him to enter Jannah. And then they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, how about two daughters? Then the Prophet said, two daughters. And they said, Wallahi, we wanted to ask him about even for one daughter, and he would have said, even if it's one daughter. So what this is the, you see what Islam has done to the status of women and how women were regarded before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Islam came to abolish all those practices and to tell them that this girl that you're burying alive, she will be, or she is your daughter and your sister, she will be your mother, she will be your aunt, she will be, you know, your wife, these women that you people, or these girls that you people are burying. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions that when they used to get girls, you know, when they give birth to girls, iswad da wajhu, the faces will turn dark and they will be, you know, sad and disappointed. So much so that it was narrated that this man, when he gave birth, when his wife gave birth to a girl, he, because of honor, he would take the girl, and he left her until she grew up little, and then he took her out with him. He wanted to take her out, but because he could not, you know, really grasp the fact that he gave, you know, they have a daughter. So he waited and waited until she grew up, and then he wanted to take her out, but his wife felt that he was going to kill her. So she took like a covenant from him. She took oath from him that he would not harm her. And he gave her many oaths that he would not harm her. And then he was going with her, and his daughter, she's going out looking at her dad. He's happy. You know, she's happy. And then he went to the desert and started digging a hole in the desert. And then she's playing, she's a little girl playing in the, you know, with the sand. And then he came, and then he threw her into that hole and buried her alive. Wal-iyadu billah. Buried her alive. So they used to bury girls alive. Wal-iyadu billah. This is the type of practice that happened at that time before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu wassalam. Another story. This is all happening there in the Arab Peninsula. Also, my brothers and sisters, in Yemen. In Yemen. A very interesting story happened. The story of this man by the name of Dhunuwais. Dhunuwais. This man claimed to be God. As I mentioned yesterday, the origin of Arabs, you know, as the Qahtaniyin, they came from Yemen. So what happened to this man, Dhunuwais, who claimed to be God, it's a very well-known story. And in fact, the story of this man is also mentioned in Bukhari, in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, and also in the Quran, in Surah Al-Buruj. This man, it's a long story, let me summarize it for you. So he claimed that he was God, and he also used to believe in magic. So he had this man, his right-hand man, who used to, you know, practice magic to make the king look really, you know, like God and whatnot. And as that right-hand man was getting old, he asked the king, listen, I'm getting old, maybe we should look for a young boy so I can teach him, you know, my sihr, my magic, you know, so that he can take over. So he says, yeah, let's look for a kid. And then they looked for a brilliant, brilliant kid who started learning from that, you know, magician, you know, how, you know, about black magic. So this boy, as he used to go towards, you know, the palace to learn magic from that magician, he used to pass by a rahib. Rahib, يعني a worshipper, who was under the religion of Tawheed, who was under the religion of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he used to, you know, pass by him, and that worshipper never said anything to him, right? And then he would come back, and then he would pass by him, and he would listen to him. He would listen, you know, he would listen to his dua, to his praise, to his glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he started sitting with him and listening to him, right? He started listening to him and listening to, and sitting with him and listening to him. One day he fell into a trap, that boy, right? He fell into a trap. So the the worshipper came to him and told him, why don't you ask the magic that you've been learning, ask that magic to pull you out from this trap. So the boy could not, the magic didn't help him. So he said, let me help you, but then you start listening to me and practicing, this is what I'm going to teach you about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started doing that. And then to cut the story short, eventually what would happen, they will find out about him. They will find out about the boy. The king will find out about the boy who started, worshipping someone other than the king, yani worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ask the boy, yani, who taught you, this practice? And then he mentioned, about the worshipper. So they came to the worshipper, they killed the worshipper, and then they wanted to kill the boy. They wanted to kill the boy, and the boy told the king, you won't be able to kill me. He challenged him. He says, you will not be able to kill me. The king ordered his soldiers to take him into the ocean and to throw him into the midst of the ocean. And then the boy made this dua. He made this dua. And I hope you can memorize this dua, brothers and sisters. Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram, memorize this dua. He used to say, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi't. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi't. Oh Allah, you take care of them in any way you wish. In any way you wish. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destroyed the soldiers, and the boy is sound and safe. The boy came back to town to face the king again, to tell him, I told you, you will not be able to kill me. Again, the king told his other soldiers, take him somewhere and kill this boy. Get rid of him. They took him into the mountain, one of the mountains. They wanted to push him from the mountain. And then the boy, one more time, he made this dua, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi't. Oh Allah, you take care of them in any way you wish. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi't. And then the mountain shook, and all the other soldiers died except the boy. And then the boy came back to to town to face the king and to tell him, I told you, you will not be able to kill me. The only way you'll be able to kill me is that if you were to position me by a tree, if you were to position me by a tree, and then you have to bring the entire people of the town to watch, to witness this. And then before you throw your arrow at me, you have to say, Bismillah, Rabb al-Ghulam. Bismillah, Rabb al-Ghulam. In the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy. But everybody's got to listen and everybody's got to watch. And then you have to say, Bismillah, Bismillah, before you shoot, your arrow at me. You've got to say, Bismillah, Rabb al-Ghulam. And that's what the king did. He called everyone, and everybody was watching. And then he pulled his arrow and he says, Bismillah, Rabb al-Ghulam. In the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy, shot him and killed him. Right, and killed him. So what happened was, it's a long story. I just summarized it for you, my brothers and sisters. Eventually, he will dig a trench or a big hole, and then he start and then filled it with fire, and he started throwing people into the fire, killing them because they all embraced the religion of Tawheed. What will happen eventually? This story, brothers and sisters, happened 50 years before the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This story happened 50 years before the prophet of the before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abraha, at the time, he invaded, from Al-Habasha, from Abyssinia, invaded Yemen, and he killed that Dhu Nuwais. He killed Dhu Nuwais. And what spread there in Yemen? The religion, of Christianity. Because Abraha, the ruler of Abyssinia at the time, he was Christian. So he heard about the story of this man, Dhu Nuwais, and how he claimed to be, God. And because Abraha used to be Christian, he attacked him, killed him, and then spread Christianity in Yemen. This story happened 50 years before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there is more that I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters. We know the story of the elephants. What led to that story of the elephants and the destroying of Mecca, of the Kaaba, destroying of the Kaaba? We talked about the building of the Kaaba when we talked about Ibrahim, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when they built the Kaaba and whatnot, right? So people, they used to really venerate the Kaaba. The Arabs, they used to venerate the Kaaba. So much so that Umar ibn Luhay, when he went to Asham, and then he brought that idol, you know, when he brought the idol Hubal, they put the idol inside the Kaaba. They put the idol inside the Kaaba. And they used to make tawaf around the Kaaba. Initially, before the worship of the idols, they used to make tawaf. They used to be in the religion of Tawheed. But they changed. They changed a lot of things. So they started making tawaf naked. They started making tawaf naked and clapping. As they were making tawaf naked, and they started clapping. Aywa, ayye, ayye, aywa, and they're making tawaf. These, you know, things that they used to do, the Arabs. And as I mentioned, the man who changed this, you know, who introduced this practice is Amr ibn Luhay. So, when, and as they used to venerate the Kaaba, what happened was, they used to come for, you know, for Hajj. There was Hajj. They used to come, the Arabs, and, you know, they used to come from different corners of the world, going into, you know, Mecca to perform Hajj. Abraha, he was asking, like, why, you know, about the Arabs and what is there in Mecca. They said there is this place called Al-Kaaba. And people, they, you know, they migrate to the Kaaba, they go to perform the pilgrimage, the pilgrims. He says, well, I'm going to build a church. And let the Christians come and perform pilgrimage here in my town. So he built a church and asked people to come, you know, the Christians to perform, you know, the pilgrimage, you know, by, you know, in his town. An Arab man from the, you know, from Mecca, he heard about this church. So what did he do? He went and he traveled, and instead of doing tawaf around the church or whatnot, he took feces. He took feces and he splashed the walls of the church with his feces. You know that, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, the that fertilizer. So when Abraha heard that, he was really mad. And he made an oath, a pledge to travel and destroy the Kaaba. Who was leader at the time from Quraysh? Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, who was the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad. So he was, you know, one of the leaders, or the main leader, the elite of Mecca at the time. So they heard about Abraha coming with his, you know, army. And in his army was known the time, Abyssinia, they used to use elephants. They used to have elephants as, you know, as part of their soldiers in the army. And they had this very well-known elephant by the name of Mahmud. By the name of Mahmud. So they heard about the army of Abraha coming to destroy the Kaaba. The Arabs, they were not prepared and equipped to defeat the army of Abraha. So when Abraha came into the verge of Mecca, found a bunch of, you know, camels, so he took the camels. So he's coming to attack, to invade, not only to, you know, destroy the Kaaba, but also to invade Mecca and take whatever, you know, into his possession. Found some camels, took them. Those camels happened to belong to Abdul Muttalib. So Abdul Muttalib, he asked to meet Abraha. The leader of the Arabs wanted to meet the leader of Abyssinia, of Al-Habasha. So he was summoned. He was summoned by Abraha to talk. Maybe he says this man was coming to maybe work out, you know, to strike a deal with me, you know. So he summoned him. When he came, Abdul Muttalib, he had that prestige. When Abdul Muttalib was to be seen, he had that subhanAllah, he's a man of honor, a man of respect. People used to respect him. He had that prestige. So when Abraha saw him, he stood up. out of respect for Abdul Muttalib. And then Abdul Muttalib came after greeting him and he says, I came here for those camels that you have, you know, stolen. He says, I thought you're coming here to tell me to go back and not to destroy your Kaaba. He says, no, I came here for the camels. The camels are mine. They are under my possession. But the Kaaba is belongs to Allah, and Allah will protect it. والبيت لله الله يحميه والبيت لله يحميه البيت يعني the bait is talking about the Kaaba. He says the camels are mine, but the house, the sacred house, belongs to Allah, and Allah shall protect it. They used to believe in Allah, although they, you know, they used to do this shirkiyat, but they used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned. And then came that story where, you know, they came to destroy the Kaaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them, you know, those ababil, right? The birds from hellfire, carrying rocks from fire, and then dropping them into those, you know, the army that got destroyed. This incident, brothers and sisters, happened 50 days before the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is called the Aam al-Fil, the year of the elephant. The year of the elephant, 50 days before this event, or after this event, I'm sorry. 50 days after this was the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nah. This is how the situation was in Mecca. But let me talk more about Mecca, just so you know. Mecca, my brothers and sisters, listen up. This is very important. I hope you're taking notes, because I'm giving you really golden information here. Because a lot of us Muslims, we think that Islam spread by sword. We think that after studying the Seerah, we think that the Quraysh did not want to believe in Allah. They did not want to believe in God. They did not want to, you know, it's mostly about tijara. It's mostly about business. And you will understand. They did not want to believe in the Prophet, although they knew that the Prophet was a messenger of Allah, but they did not want to follow him. It's all because of business. It's all because of trade. What happened was, my brothers and sisters, Mecca was the center of trade. Mecca, by the way, had many names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Mecca many names. One of the names of Mecca is Bakka. Mecca, Bakka, Ummul Qura. Take notes. Bakka, Mecca, Bakka, Ummul Qura is another name of Mecca. Al-Balad Al-Amin. Al-Balad is also one of the names of Mecca. Ummul Qura. Bakka, Ma'ad is another name of Mecca. Al-Balad al-Amin, it's also called Al-Masjid al-Haram. Masjid al-Haram, it's also called Al-Bayt al-Atiq. Al-Bayt al-Atiq, it's also called Tuhama. These are all names of Mecca. So Mecca, my brothers and sisters, that used to be the center of trade. So goods used to come from China and stop with a stop in Yemen, and then from Yemen it used to come to Jazirat al-Arab, the Arab Peninsula, right? And then through the Quraysh as the middleman, that the goods would travel from Mecca, you know, from Mecca into Asham, يعني Syria, Jordan, you know, Palestine. It was called Asham. So there was a big trade happening between Mecca, Jazirat al-Arab, and Asham. Big trade happening between them. So goods used to come from China, right? And from China to Yemen with a stop, and then come to Jazirat al-Arab, Mecca. So Mecca was like a hub for trade. Everything used to come from Mecca, and then, you know, and then get, you know, subhanAllah, the trades, as I mentioned, from China to Yemen, and then with a stop to Mecca, and then from Mecca takes a, you know, the route to Jazirah, to Asham. Mecca was also a place of security. So Quraysh was acting as the middleman, transporting goods from Mecca to Al-Sham, and Mecca was a place of security. It was very safe place of security. It used to be called Bayt al-Haram, Baytullah al-Haram. Even in Quraysh before Islam, they used to, you know, Bayt Allah al-Haram, no fighting, no killing. Bayt Allah al-Haram, you know, in when you are in Mecca, in the Haram. So they used to respect and used to venerate Mecca. There is no Qutta al-Turuq. You know, bandits will be everywhere else, but when it comes to Mecca, Mecca is safe, secure. There are no bandits. But bandits will be out in other, you know, areas, but not in Mecca. They used to respect and venerate Mecca and Al-Kaaba. And they used to have something called Dar al-Nadwa. Dar al-Nadwa. What's Dar al-Nadwa? It's like the parliament. It's like the parliament, you know, where every decision used to be made in Dar al-Nadwa. The elite of Quraysh, of the Arabs, they used to meet there to come up with solutions or with decisions. Dar al-Nadwa. This Dar, subhanAllah, the area of it still exists today in Mecca. When I take people for Hajj or Umrah, I show them these places where, you know, Dar al-Nadwa used to be, or the house of Abu Sufyan, or the house of Khadija, or the house of Al-Arqam ibn al-Arqam. You know, there are still areas where you can still, you know, find these places. Although a lot of things have changed, but the area is still there. And and of course, what makes the Kaaba, you know, what makes Mecca, you know, and the status of Mecca is the Kaaba. Is the Kaaba. And inside the Kaaba, my brothers and sisters, there were 360 idols. 360 idols. 360 idols all in the Kaaba. And these 360 idols used to belong in different tribes. Why Quraysh has put those 360 idols that belong to different tribes in the Kaaba? Here's the question. This is a $1 million question. Why Quraysh used to put 360 idols that belonged to different tribes inside the Kaaba? Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram, here's my question again. There were 360 idols. Each idol belonged to a different tribe. Why would Quraysh put their gods in, or their gods, any of their idols, inside the Kaaba? Why? I'm waiting for your answers. You brothers and sisters, those of you out there, even if you ask Sheikh Google, he wouldn't give you. Why? To keep their link to Allah safe? No. So everyone travels there? No. No. Each tribe has a part of it? No. No, this is the Kaaba. It belongs to the Arabs. It belongs to the Meccans, right? You are the tribe from somewhere, and then you have a god that you worship, and then you want me to put your god inside my house, inside my Kaaba. No, who are you? No. Each tribe has a part of it? No. So that people from all tribes could come? No. Not to be destroyed? No. maybe have more variant to pray? No. To protect them because they were their God? No. For safety of the Kaaba? No. Let's ask Google? No. Najam to worship? No. To protect the Kaaba? No. No, 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 no. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, I will tell you the answer. Bi-idhnillah. Tomorrow, inshallah, I will give you the answer to this question. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, I will give you the answer to this question, inshallah ta'ala. قمر 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 سيدنا النبي قمر وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل طالع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داع أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالخير المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير داع صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الله يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله the Moroccan version أنا مني فياش أشعني يا مني نخلق من رزقي لاش والخالق يرزقني أنا مني فياش وشعني يا مني نخلق من رزقي لاش والخالق يرزقني اللهم صل على المصطفى حبيبنا محمد عليه السلام اللهم صل على المصطفى حبيبنا محمد عليه السلام اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. My brothers and sisters, we'll see you tomorrow inshallah ta'ala. Tomorrow we will start at 5:30 p.m. inshallah. Tomorrow we will start at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time inshallah, which is 10:30 p.m. UK time. 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. 10:30 p.m. UK time inshallah ta'ala. Don't forget, this is the new timing. 5:30 inshallah. Okay? Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you Facebook for joining. Thank you Lula Robe. Thank you Nora. Thank you Hamid. My man Hamid. Thank you my buddy. Thank you Fatima. Jazakallah khair. Thank you Nawal. Thank you Layla. Thank you Mu'nisa. Thank you all the brothers and sisters. Sidi Khalid. Thank you Sidi Khalid. Ibrahim. Baizuriaziz. Karima, thank you, Yasmin. Thank you, girls and boys. Thank you, Patrice, Beth. Thank you, Patrice, for joining. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Karima. Bayzuriaziz. Zakumullah khair. Thank you, Brother Naeem Nabanat. My man, Brother Naeem Banat, Habibi. Zakumullah khair. May Allah bless you all. Those of you who've come in late, my brothers and sisters, this is recorded. It's going to be on Facebook, Instagram, on YouTube. Go to my YouTube. You'll find all the sessions, all the series, all recorded. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.